Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Have you ever dreamed of one day owning your own business, but just don't know where to begin? Then you've tuned into the right show. On All Things Franchising, you will hear from top national franchisors, successful franchisees, attorneys, CPAs, and others who support this fast-growing business model. So grab a cup of coffee and pen and notepad, because you will want to capture the invaluable information you hear on today's show. And now, here is your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Welcome to All Things Franchising. This is Linda Ballesteros. I'm your host today. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. Just to let you know, if you're listening to the recording, today is July the 21st, 2020. And we all know what 2020 stands for. That stands for anything and everything is possible in 2020. And you have to be prepared for that. So we are in a pandemic. We're coming out of it. I don't know where we are, folks, but I just know that it's impacting our lives. I recently read an article in the Harvard Business Review, and it talked about preparing your business for a post-pandemic world. So as we're in the middle of this, we're really not thinking a lot about how are we going to, what's it going to look like when we come out of it? This particular article talked about what is your plan for bouncing back. And I did some studying in the naturopathic world, and one of the things they talk about is having an adaptogenic gene. So that's that gene that allows you, no matter what hits you, but you're able to bounce back, whether it's from an illness. And in this case, we're talking about businesses. So no matter what hits you as a business, you still want to have that ability to bounce back. In this article, it says, a plan is a course of action pointing the way to the position you hope to obtain. The lack of a plan only exacerbates disorientation in an already confusing situation. So having a plan is good. Not having a plan really exacerbates anything that comes your way because you're not ready for it, becomes chaos. So today we're going to talk to Eric Bell. He's with Franchise Gator. Eric has been in franchising for well over a decade, wearing many hats along the way. Today, Eric is general manager for Franchise Gator, which works with hundreds of franchise opportunities. Help me in welcoming Eric to the show. Eric, glad you're here.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Eric, these are some very challenging times, even for a seasoned company. So what are you seeing? You know, I know that you work with hundreds of franchise opportunities and hundreds of concepts out there. What are you seeing? Are they prepared for it?
Well, first of all, let me comment on the Harvard Business Review article that mm-hmm. you referenced. And first of all, let me say that my adaptation gene is chomping at the bit right now. I'm ready to get past this.
Yes.
And I think that that is key, having a plan. I think if companies are not looking for ways to pivot and looking for ways to adapt to what is going to be a new landscape and the new reality, they're going to continue to feel like they're still trying to catch up. So, I love that article.
Yeah.
What we're seeing here, what Franchise Gator does is we market hundreds of franchise opportunities. We have two audiences that we're focused on. Our customers are those franchisors. They're our advertisers. But the main goal is to drive traffic to our site, the traffic consists of people who are interested in becoming business owners and franchisees. So we have two markets that we're, you know, keeping our finger on the pulse of. In mid-March, when the pandemic hit, both of those audience pulled back a little bit, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And we're slowly recovering. Things are definitely trending in the right direction. We are not at pre-pandemic levels just yet. But I am seeing a lot of positive signs, a lot of companies that weren't quite sure when they were going to be able to get back into the advertising game calling us, and they're ready to start focusing on franchise development again.
Mm-hmm. And for those that were able to pivot, Eric, what did you see that they had in place that maybe some of the others did not have in place prior to this? Because none of us, let's get real, folks, none of us had any of this in our business plan. But there had to be an element in their plan, Eric, that allowed them to pivot quicker. What was that?
You know, the common thread that I saw really was leadership. And the top of the franchisor funnel within each company, they jumped right on it, and they focused on their franchisees. We work with some business opportunities as well, and their base consists of distributors or licensees, and they all focused on those people. And those that focused on the franchisee, they were able to sit down with them and figure out, you know, what do we need to do to make sure that you survive? A lot of these companies were large enough because they're so well run. They're large enough that they were able to maybe waive franchise fees for a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies were lucky enough to be in an industry that lent itself to focusing on an audience that is reacting to a pandemic. You know, we work with one company that's not a franchise, they're more of a business opportunity, but they apply non-slip coating to floors, and they were able to, you know, add a COVID type of preventative product to their offering. And that actually offered a
wow.
whole new audience for them and a great sales pitch. I mean, it's great to market that. So smart leadership at the top to see if they can alter their offering. And then, of course, focusing on the franchisees. I think that was paramount, and I think those that did that the best are in a great position as of now.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned industries, and that was a perfect example. And I know that I had recently seen where there was a commercial cleaning franchise that had added a industrial strength, you know, for lack of a better term, sanitizer in the way that they cleaned commercial buildings. And that, again, was a great way for them to pivot. But what are some industries that you've seen that have been able to weather this storm better than others?
Well, you know, the food industry has obviously been hit the hardest, but doesn't mean that there aren't some ways that they can overcome it. And those that focused on delivery and, you know, curbside pickup and things like that, you know, I think that that's a great example of pivoting. You know, there are a lot of home service companies that they marketed to an audience, as far as franchise development is concerned, they marketed to an audience that they weren't able to market to before simply because they lent themselves to social distancing and all the things that we were supposed to practice in the pandemic. They became a little bit more of a favorable industry to those that are interested in becoming franchisees. And also because, you know, those industries never really slowed down, or they didn't slow down as much as other industries. You know, the pest control companies, mm-hmm. the mosquito companies. I mean, they're still out and about. Mm-hmm. People are outside a lot. I think we all know the pool industry has been extremely busy. So, you know, as residents are trying to make the most of home life, a lot of these home service companies are seeing a lot more interest in their business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So as we go forward, how do you see things changing here, Eric? How are franchisors going to better prepare themselves? Or what advice would you give franchisors to better prepare themselves to be more flexible and be able to step in quicker to help their franchisees? What would your advice be to them?
Well, I think from what I hear and with some conversations that I'm having, it actually starts with having those conversations with the franchisees, you know, those that are rising to the top, right? Because, you know, they just have that grit and they're fighting tooth and nail to remain open and figure out whatever it is that they need to do to get through this. They're the ones that have great ideas. And I think sitting down with them and having an open line of communication, talking to the franchisor, sharing some ways that they think might be helpful, and the franchisee sharing some anecdotal evidence of some different ideas and tactics that they brought to the table that they think have been really helpful. I think that, as you mentioned before, focusing on that post-pandemic landscape and open communication with your franchisees to facilitate that plan, I think that that's going to be paramount as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. When we were in the green room, Eric, you and I were talking about how this particular situation and crisis is very different than it was when we were in, say, 2007, 8, 9. Let's talk a little bit about that. How different is it today for businesses than it was back in 2008? What's the difference here?
Difference is lending. Back in 2007, 2008, 2009, during a really, really troubling time, if you had spoken to those who had been in franchising for decades, they have lived through recessions before. And in a lot of cases, they actually benefited because you had a lot of people who were without a job, and they had to figure out a way to supplement their income, and business ownership and franchise ownership was a great option for them. Last time in 2008, 2009, lending was not very prevalent. And if you talk to those people, they'd say, I've never been in this situation before. It's really tough. They have plenty of people who are knocking on the door, but they just can't get lending. I think that's going to be the main difference today versus what we saw back then. I think, SBA is, really trying to work with people. And, the banks are really trying to, facilitate a recovery. Everybody's got their eye on that end game. And that's going to be the main difference, is that we're going to have people who are going to be in the same position. They're going to need to supplement their income, but they're going to have more access to lending.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of companies that are having to downsize. So I'm in Houston, and Houston is a big oil and gas city. So not only are we faced with the pandemic, but we're also faced with the price of oil being so low. And in fact, it was lower than it had been in history for some time. So we're seeing more and more of the executives of oil and gas professionals they're going to be looking for another way to earn an income, just like you're talking about. As they're looking at opportunities here, one of the questions that I always get, Eric, and you probably do as well, is, show me one that's recession-proof. Now, I tell you, I really am reluctant to say anything is recession-proof. I'm more inclined to say it's recession-resistant, because I don't think anything is recession-proof, because just like today, we could have never predicted a recession to come out of a pandemic. So how do you guide people when they want, when they're looking for something that is what they think is recession proof?
Yeah, that's a really vague term that I think is probably used in ways that aren't as accurate as a lot of people want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a weird time. You know, we are potentially going into a recession. At the very least, those that are sitting at home because their offices have closed and they might be looking at a future where they, you know, have to supplement their income. They are, you know, they're potentially looking at franchise opportunities. And I think that, you know, it's about the lending, and it's about, you know, trying to find the right opportunity. As far as it being recession proof, I think what they need to do is find companies that can prove to them that they're able to work through tough times. And it may not just be recessions. It's just tough times like this. And if someone's been around in 2007, 2008, how'd you get through it? What was your first reaction in March and April when the pandemic hit? Where do you see the business a couple years from now? And I've spoken, we were talking about this earlier, I've spoken to some food franchises that are, they're still growing. They're actually still selling, you know, franchise units, and their business is humming along. The franchisees haven't closed their doors. So when you think about the food industry, that's not an industry that right now you would say is recession-proof, but you know, there's some diamonds in the rough there, and I think you really just have to interview leadership and ask all the right questions to really find what's going to be the right opportunity to help you get through a time like this.
And I think you're right. It is about asking the right questions. So now when a prospect is talking to a franchisor, they've got a whole different set of questions that they can present to those franchisors now and really get a better picture of how they support their franchisees, don't you think?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point. You know, for anybody who, you know, one of the things that we try and preach on our site is, you know, you really have to have a lot of due diligence to do if you are on the path to becoming a franchisee. There's a slew of questions that you can propose to the franchisor, but I actually think more importantly, you have a lot more questions to ask the franchisees now. That's where you're going to get the real story. Hey, tell me how the leadership at the top responded. Were you happy with their response? Did you feel they had your back? Did they have your interest, your self-interest in mind? Or, you know, were they really focused on their own bottom line without, you know, showing as much interest in the individual franchisees as you would hope? I think talking to the franchisees is just more important. It's always important. I think it's actually one of, if not the most important steps in buying a franchise. But you really have a chance to see a gut reaction and understand how someone feels about working with the franchisor that they're currently a part of.
Oh, definitely. That definitely gives you a real clear picture. And I know that there are some franchisees out there that will probably not be as happy with the franchisor, but you may have varied stories, but they're all going to be somewhat common and consistent. There's going to be a consistent thread through there. Like you said, did the franchisor communicate with them? Did they communicate in a timely manner? All of that will be great questions for existing franchisees that have been in this situation with them. You know, Eric, we're getting to the point where we need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Do you have some stories of maybe some clients or franchisors that you've worked with that you could possibly share with our listeners?
Sure, absolutely.
Very good. Folks, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be back with more from Eric Bell from Franchise Gator.
House Talk Radio. Join Tony and Wendy Gambone on House Talk Radio, where they talk all things house. From tips on home repairs and remodeling to best practices on buying and selling a home, hiring contractors, home loans, and insurance, as well as decorating ideas and how to get the most bang for your buck. If you would like more information about House Talk Radio, go to housetalkradio.com.
Are you dreaming of owning your own business but just don't know where to begin? The wait is now over. All Things Franchising is the radio show that you've been waiting for. Whether you're looking to create a living that will allow you to leave corporate America, change your lifestyle by growing your business, allowing you to experience some of the fun things in life, or if you are looking to build a legacy that will support your family for years to come. Linda Ballesteros is your host on All Things Franchising, where she interviews franchise experts from around the world. We feature top franchisors, franchisees, attorneys, CPAs, as well as others who support this fast-growing business model. Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages to listen to past shows and join the conversations on all things franchising.
Every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back to All Things Franchising. This is Linda Ballesteros, and we're here today with Eric Bell from Franchise Gator. So when we broke for commercial break, Eric, I asked if you possibly had some stories that you could share with us.
Well, we focus on two different audiences, as I mentioned before. We work with franchisors. We work with a segment, known as business opportunities, which is a very similar type of structure. It's just not legally set up as a franchise. And we also focus, obviously, on those that are interested in becoming franchisees. On the customer side, I've been working with a customer probably for about 9 or 10 years. I've been a franchise gator for 15 years at this point. And this is someone I worked very closely with for about a decade. And they offer, and I actually alluded to them before, they offer a product that will prevent slips and falls. They're mainly focused on restaurants, stadiums, other public areas. I work very closely with this company. What we do is, we're generating inquiries, people who are interested in buying a franchise or becoming a business owner. A lot of times, Franchise Gator is their first stop. And what that means is they're in the information gathering stage. So our customers have a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails to weed through to find those that, rise to the top. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. And this is someone that I've worked very, very closely with, worked through, a lot of their struggles, and got into a conversation with them towards the end of last year to review some numbers. And what they told me was that they made about, the bottom line came to about $1 million off of their partnership with Franchise Gator. And I was just ecstatic because that's a number that I had never gone over with them. These are not details that our customers, are very willing in a lot of cases to share with us. So it took a very deep conversation for us to get into for them to start to share some of the successes that they had. And we, started to do the math and, You know, I love that example because it is someone that I just, you know, one of my favorite customers and, you know, someone I've worked closely with. But, you know, everything, if you talk to them as frequently as I do, you don't get the sense that everything is just on the up and up and moving in the direction that they want. You know, everything is they're very gritty and just, you know, trying to make the most of every effort. And that was the point that I wanted to make to them is that, hey, guys, you know, we worked really hard on this campaign. And you guys, you don't settle for middle of the road. You guys want to be as best as possible. I'm glad we took a step back, got a bird's eye view of the results. And I hope you guys understand that, you know, you're killing it and that you are, you know, really all the hard work has really paid off. So on the customer side, that's a story that I like to share quite often. On the future business owner side, you know, the way Franchise Gator works is we're an advertising platform. Those that come to the site and use our site to find opportunities to invest in, these are not people that we actually communicate too much with. The way our site works is these prospects will complete a form and their information gets sent directly to our advertisers, the franchisors. And from there, the franchisor will provide all the necessary information for the prospect to make an informed decision. Every once in a while, someone will reach out to us and we'll engage in a conversation. And I got into a conversation with one of these prospects a couple months ago, and he reached out because he actually owns a company and wants to advertise. He now is a franchisor. And as we were talking about advertising packages, he just casually mentioned that many years ago he was browsing Franchise Gator and found an opportunity to buy. And he had been with that company for, you know, I think it was like 5 or 8 years, had a great experience, and decided that he's now ready to become a franchisor.
Wow.
So that was great to hear. Not only did he have success, you know, with Franchise Gator, but here's a guy who he wasn't happy just, you know, being a part of a system. He wanted to own the entire system. And I'd love to see someone, you know, go through that kind of path, you know, to really take things to the next level. I mean, when you see someone who just isn't satisfied and continuing to ascend like that, that's really exciting.
Well, and it also says so much for Franchise Gator and his experience with you guys is when he did decide to be a franchisor, he came back to you in a different capacity, looking for a different service, but he still came back to you. So that says so much about his experience with you guys. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So, Eric, if somebody's listening right now and they're wanting more information about you, Franchise Gator, how would they find out more about the process?
Well, if you are interested in business ownership, please come to franchisegator.com. All the tools to help you browse the site are right there on the homepage. If you see any opportunity or opportunities that you are interested in, it's very easy. All you need to do is identify those companies, select them, and complete our form, and your information gets sent directly to those companies and only those companies. And as I mentioned before, they then follow up, you know, to provide all the necessary information to help you make an informed decision. You know, our main focus is to try and help prospective franchisees find opportunities that they may not have otherwise heard of.
And
that's also the benefit to our customers as well. You know, we're putting them in front of an audience that's not easy to get in front of. And these are people who are just, they're looking for ideas. You know, if you're not quite sure where to go, you know, we have hundreds of opportunities on the site. So it's really, you're really opening up your options, and I promise you'll have a lot better perspective on, you know, what that path is and what's available to you once you visit the site and browse around even for a couple minutes. If you are interested in advertising, what I prefer is that you go to our other website, growwithgator.com, and we have some information there for franchisors. There's a form to fill out. If anybody wants to contact me directly, my email address, eric.bell, eric.bell@franchisegator.com. I'm here, would love to connect, and you know, that's probably the best way to reach out to learn about our advertising packages.
Wonderful. So we're down to those final three questions. And the first question here, Eric, is if there's someone listening who's considering purchasing a franchise, what would you suggest that they do to prepare for this process?
Two things. One, get your financing in order. You have as good of a sense as you possibly can about what you can afford. You know, without that, you are probably going to waste your time, and you're probably going to waste the franchisor's time, because you might have some big eyes going into this. And you do not want to start to explore an opportunity that you otherwise really, you know, aren't financially able to take on. And so if you feel like you have some relatives or friends who might be able to chip in, you know, talk to them first and make sure that's solidified. Maybe talk to a bank, a lender, to just get a sense of, you know, based upon the type of collateral you're able to put up, based upon your net worth, exactly how much do you think you're going to have access to? And there's not too much legwork there, but it's an important step. The other step is to, and we alluded to this before, is, you know, get your list of questions together. When you talk with a franchisor, understand this, and this is very important. It is a recruiting process for them. They are the well-run companies, the well-run franchisors. They're not interested in selling franchises. What they're interested in is bringing on someone who's the right fit. The example I always use is, you have a car salesman. Once he sells a car and that person leaves the lot, everything that happens from there on in doesn't impact the salesperson. In the franchising world, once a franchise is sold, everything that franchisee does impacts the franchise company. A franchise that struggles, the franchisor, you know, could potentially lose money. It hurts the validation process, the process of future franchisees asking other franchisees, hey, what's your experience, right? So it's imperative that franchisors bring on the right people. And so you are making an impression. When you have that first conversation, understand that, you know, you need to make an impression on them just as much as they need to make an impression on you. So have your questions ready, get prepared, and also have your questions ready for the franchisee as well. At some point after a couple steps through the process, you'll be tasked with reaching out to those franchisees. The time you have on the phone with them is extremely valuable. And also, you have to, you know, understand these people are very busy. You got to make the most of this time. And so do your research. There's plenty of you know, websites and resources out there that will tell you or help guide you through those conversations with those franchisees.
Next question is, what are two traits that make a successful franchisee?
You know, it's I think it's grit. It always comes down to grit. I think I threw out that word a couple times. And that, in my eyes, sort of identifies most people who are successful in anything they put their mind to. And so if someone comes to the table with that grit, and they have that fight in them, and they've illustrated that. I mean, I think they're halfway home. And then the other end of that is the second trait is passion. What is your passion? And, you know, some people have a passion in sports, and let's say they have a passion in golf, for instance. If your passion's in golf, you know, make sure that you are looking for an opportunity in golf that's going to facilitate that passion. For instance, if you're going to open up a golf store, you may not be outside too much, right?
Right.
So you want to make sure that you're tapping in to your passion and into an opportunity that – obviously will allow that passion to just blossom and help you grow a very successful unit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so important. The final question here is, what does the future of franchising look like?
Well, you know, back in going back to 2007, 2008 again, what I personally saw was there was such a focus prior to that point on franchise sales. And, you know, as important as it is, it's always important, but we were getting to a point where focusing on the internal operations was not as it wasn't as focused on as much as it needed to be. Let me just say that. And for the companies that put themselves in a position where they were really not building a really solid system, but benefiting because the economy was doing good, well, you know, that reared its ugly head the moment the economy tanked, right? And so what you saw coming out of that was a little bit of a pullback on franchise sales and a huge investment, time and money-wise, on making sure operations were solid. And I think that is going to happen again after the pandemic. I think, you know, the cream is going to rise to the top. And I think we're going to see, you know, some companies that maybe just they didn't have a good system in place to begin with. They're not going to make it. And ultimately, that's going to be good for the prospective franchisee. And so after the pandemic, that's what I would expect is the cream is going to rise to the top. And we're going to see a little bit of a correction, as we always do during, you know, any type of economic pullback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. Eric, it's been great talking with you today. I love your perspective on how companies just have to do a better job at getting a stronger leadership to make sure that they are, they do have that adaptogenic gene that I mentioned and are more flexible. So, again, if somebody is listening right now and they want more information about Franchise Gator and want to reach out, how would they find that?
They can come to franchisegator.com. There's information on getting in touch with us. For those on the franchisor side, I would also strongly recommend that you sign up at franchiseinsights.com, which is a website that's developed by our parent company with tremendous information. They are interviewing a lot of prospective franchisees to get a sense of, you know, where they're at, where their head is at. Are they feeling good about where the economy is going? And I think there's just a tremendous amount of information that might be very useful to franchisors. Again, that's franchiseinsights.com. For information on Franchise Gator, you can go to franchisegator.com or growwithgator.com.
Wonderful. Eric, thanks again for being on the show today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Linda. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, folks, you see that being flexible is the name of the game these days. And I tell people that, you know, some days I feel so flexible, you could call me Gumby. And for those of you that are old enough, you know what that means. So I'm going to leave you with this quote today, as I always leave you with a quote. This one is a Tony Robbins quote. Stay committed in your decisions, but stay flexible in your approach. And that's what we're seeing today, that companies that stay committed in their decision to be in business and they are committed to their product, they have to be flexible in their approach. And sometimes being flexible in their approach may even mean reconsidering their delivery model. So again, stay committed in your decisions, but stay flexible in your approach. Folks, thanks so much for joining me today on All Things Franchising. See you next time.
Another great episode of All Things Franchising is now in the books. You can listen to past shows by following All Things Franchising on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for joining us today, And be sure not to miss us next time when we bring you a brand new episode of All Things Franchising.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.